If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll be reading from verses 11 through 14. And Paul writes here, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Since becoming a Christian, have you ever questioned your own salvation? How many times can we sin, ask God to forgive us, and he forgave us? At what point in time does God simply say, "Get out of here, you vile and wretched person. Depart from me who practices iniquity"? Well, let's hear what the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 6 in verses 4 through 6. For here he says, "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying again the Son of God, to their own harm, and holding him up to contempt." Are we in or are we out? How do we know? Are we destined to always question? And then we turn to 1 John, chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, verses 13 through 18, and chapter 5 and verse 13. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Verses 13 through 18. "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may be confident for the day of judgment. Because as he is also, so are we in his world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Now chapter 5 and verse 13, "I write these things to you who believe in the same Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." These verses make us feel good again, don't they? We feel the confidence that God loves us and that we can go to heaven. But what do these verses have in common? One talks about losing our salvation and the other about keeping it. the common bond between them is the working of God's Holy Spirit. We come back to what we read in the very beginning, and we are faced with another deep theological issue. Let's look at verses 13 and 14 again of Ephesians chapter 1. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with a promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What does it mean to be sealed? When did we get this Spirit of God, and how does it work in us? When Paul writes to the faithful in Christ, he tells them that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ. So what is it that Jesus shares with us? One gift that has been given to those in Christ is the Holy Spirit. We cannot approach the subject without starting at the very beginning. In Genesis 1, in verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What was he doing? What was the Spirit of God doing? He was hovering. He was hovering over the face of the waters. It was a time of darkness and chaos. There was nothing but water in a ball of swirling mass. And when the Spirit of God goes to work creating us as God speaks, the very nature of God is the creation of the universe. The Spirit was the power of God at work in the creation. But it doesn't stop there. Sin was the reason that Jesus came to earth, God in the form of man. In his perfection and godliness, Jesus accepted in the flesh the consequences of all sin, of all time, in him on the cross. Sin. Our sins caused Jesus to hang on that cruel cross. Placed in the tomb where he lay dead. Now we listen to Paul in Romans chapter 8. Verses 9 through 11, Paul writes, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The Spirit of God that was at work through the creation and all that chaos. The birth of this world is the same Spirit of God that was at work in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave to leave that tomb empty for the price of sin, paid for that for all time. But it doesn't stop there. Early in his ministry, a good man, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus stating what he and others knew, that Jesus had come from God. And that was a great statement of faith, that something from above, heaven, God, came to earth. But Jesus, he kept up this conversation. And in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 8, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, he said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Spirit of God that was part of the creation of this world, that was with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the same Spirit that is at work in the recreation of sinners into saints. We see it more clearly in Acts chapter 2. The Jews there at Pentecost, after they heard this tremendous sermon about who Jesus was from Peter and why he hung on that cross, and they were convicted. The King James says that they were pricked in their hearts, and they wanted to know what to do with the guilt that they were carrying. They were not told to give some sort of a guilt offering at the temple. But instead, they heard, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Are you ready for this? God's signature is the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who are in Christ. And that gift was given to us at our baptism. And if you have been baptized into Christ, then you have God's signature upon you, as his gift of the Spirit comes to seal you as God's possession. There are many seals in Scripture. One area that we see these seals or these marks is found in the book of Revealing, in the Revelation, if you will. There we find seven scrolls, the seals on a scroll. We also find the mark of the beast, and also there is the seal on the forehead of the servants of God, the 144,000 in the fullness of the saved. The Spirit of God that dwells in us is our seal or our mark from God that we are his children. There is some protection that comes from being a child of God. That's not to say that we can't or won't be harmed or that we will not be persecuted or suffer in any way, but when we have that Spirit of God as our seal, not even death is victorious over us, because heaven is our home. We know where we are going. We are confident in grace. But from God's perspective, there is a guarantee That guarantee is that heaven is real, that it is eternal, and that it is there for those who are in Christ. God's not going to renege on His promises of salvation for everyone who walks in the light. For those who remain in Christ, those who live with the Spirit, because God has promised heaven to those who are born from above and live by grace. The Holy Spirit is God's signature and seal of our redemption from the sins and the life that we now have in Christ. And as long as the Spirit of God dwells within us, our eternal destination of heaven is guaranteed. Heaven is our inheritance. Will we be perfect? No. Will we struggle with sin? Yes, we will. God is not looking for perfection in us. God is looking for our effort. And as long as we put forth the effort, God will continue to bless us. When we give up, when we throw it all into the wind, then we're going to see the wrath of Hebrews chapter 6. Abraham was promised an inheritance. He would be the father of a nation that was so great that you could not count it. Just like you can't count the stars and like you can't count the sand on the seashore. It was an inheritance that was delivered in the body of his flesh and spiritually in all those who believed. For we are Abraham's offspring. We are heirs according to the promise. And what we inherit is God's salvation, the freedom from sin, signed and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it will be realized in its fullness when we enter into eternal glory, heaven itself. Signed, sealed, delivered, all by God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The gift of the forgiveness of sin and the Holy Spirit is all for all who are afar off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And you know, He's still calling. He's still calling. And many of us present here have answered the call. And still there are many who have not. And if you have not come to Christ, then you are separated from God. You are not signed, sealed, and delivered to that eternal promise of a home in heaven. But if you wait until it's too late, you will be signed, sealed, and delivered to Satan himself, to eternal punishment. It is both that simple and it is both that difficult. Where do you stand this day? Today you can be signed, sealed, and delivered. Today you can enjoy the promise of God Almighty. Through your baptism, you will receive those gifts. You will be signed, sealed, and delivered. If you have not been walking the way you should be walking this day, you need to change directions. Get yourself back on the right path. If there's anyone who is in need of the invitation this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.